Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back, we are back live. October, whatever day this is, I don't know anymore. This is absolute truth. I'm sorry, I had a rough weekend. I had not slept, and I was too busy partying. It was still my birthday. I can't help it. What's the name of the show again?
It's something. Something, absolute something.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, one of the most, the drunk of drunks. I mean, the king of kings himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the man that loves to grab me by my black ass.
Oh,
the
Lord.
One, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building. Not anywhere else, just in the building. Who else
okay.
is with us today?
And we have... You know, this joke is getting old now.
I see that.
Oh, well. And once again, I need to be busy doing someone or something or banging her head against the headboard. I don't know, but... Oh. What can I say? Anisha B was great, like to get grabbed by the balls, as Donald Trump will say. So Anisha's getting her balls being grabbed right now by other people. But as you know, Sean, the show must go on with or without her.
Of course.
So we have to do what we do best. Oops. Hold on. I think this is her. Hold on 1 second, please. Hello?
You have mental problems. You would drop a child and it had long lasting effect.
Lord, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Anisha B, everyone. She's back on the show.
Yes. You had to deal with this crazy person this entire week. That had to be really fun.
Yes.
Interesting to say the least.
Yes. Good grief. Well.
Yeah? Huh? So, for the seventh time, for the year and a half now, are you guys ready to piss some Hillary Clinton people off?
Well, are we ready to piss somebody off?
I piss everybody right. off.
Hey, why don't we try that? Piss everybody off and then call it a day.
Hey,
we're even pissing babies off.
Exactly.
Yeah, you hear that, right?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Well, please, ladies and gentlemen, forgive me. That's my baby crying in the background because she wants to sleep on Daddy's tummy, but Daddy's busy right now trying to do the show. So try not to hear the background noise, even though it's impossible.
Good luck with that one.
I know. Okay, well, once again, I have to give credit where credit's due. But first, the number to call. Curse me out, or my daughter, is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And if I met Donald Trump again in person, I would give him a cigar, because Donald Trump had given us, not just us, I guess the whole world, something to talk about. Like I told Sean Black the other day, you like him or you hate him. You can't stop talking about him. He is entertaining.
Of course. He is the gift that keeps on giving. That's probably the best that I can give it.
You know what?
Don't you guys find it interesting that now he's annoyed at that show, Saturday Night Live, and wants to try and cancel the show because of the parody they did?
Oh, of course. And it wasn't all that long ago, and he actually was on the show and hosting it, so.
I know. Like, I found that a little odd. Like, are we catching feelings now? People have said worse, have done, I've seen worse parodies, more offensive parodies than the one that was done on that show, and that's what he finds offensive?
Yeah, and I think it's mostly due to the fact that he has been tanking in the polls as of late, and his image is basically in the toilet on his own doing. And because of that reason, that's the reason why he's doing it. Oh, they're making fun of me. Oh, it's, yeah.
Wham.
Yeah, exactly. Get the wambulance. Wham.
Exactly.
My producer does text me and like to know why K-Dog is crying right now in the background.
Wow.
K-Dog is not crying yet in the background, but he will call on later on, and I'm assuming Montanax will be calling also to cry. But the only person I say who's crying right now is Donald Trump. But, of course, the reason why I brought up this topic, because the latest issue about Donald Trump is sexual assaults. All these females claim that Donald Trump grabbed them by the vagina or kissed them or grabbed their tush or whatever. Before we get into about that, Sean Black, can you please give a definition so we're all on the same page? What is a sexual assault?
Okay. The definition as defined by the law is any type of sexual contact or behavior that occurs without the explicit consent of the recipient. These falling under that definition of sexual assault are forced intercourse, forcible sodomy, child molestation, incest, fondling, or attempted rape. And the issue here is that there are so many dynamics that go into that, but in general, that lays the basis for all sexual assault in the eyes of the law. So now that we're all on the same page with that, you have the definition.
So in other words, I mean, this is a serious statement for once. If I went up to Anitra and I touched her in the breast, the vagina area, and she did not like that, and that's a sexual assault. She didn't approve that.
Yes. Anything that has not – any violation of a male or female that was not requested, that was not given permission, that is forcible and past anybody's – personal space, anything in that particular realm, and as I just stated, included in, you know, forced intercourse, which is obviously in the realm of rape also, forcible sodomy, child molestation, incest, fondling, and attempted rape. Those go under the ideal of sexual assault. And obviously, after attempted rape, then you go into actual rape. And that has its own definition going forward in there. And we all know the ground rules for that as it goes to rape.
Okay, so out of nowhere, females or stories have been coming up of Donald Trump sexual assaulting all these females. Here's my intake, people. I don't care. Now I don't care about the quote-unquote victims, but as we discussed in the Bill Cosby case, God knows how many times on the show, why now? We all know, let's be honest, we all know 3 weeks before the election, it seemed like the perfect strategy, the perfect timing right now for these stories to come out. So, Anitra, should we feel sorry for the quote-unquote victims if they are true?
If it's true, yes, I feel bad. I do. No woman, you know, wants to experience that. But do I care? No. I don't care. I'm sorry, but if you're going to tell me that 20 years ago he grabbed your boob, why do I care about that?
Okay. Let me ask you a personal question if you don't mind. You don't have to answer it. Have you or someone that you know has been sexually assaulted?
I've never been sexually assaulted, no.
But have you know someone?
I did know someone back in school that was, but she reported it immediately.
Okay, she reported it immediately. That's why I asked. So why are these people
I don't know the whole story. Maybe Sean know more than me. Why some of these females did not report it against a billionaire back then? What happened 5 days or 5 years or 50 years ago? Why these females did not come up with these stories till now? Perfect timing against the lynching.
But a couple of stories were brought up then. Are they just being uncovered again? Like the two, I think it was like two women that came out. They came forward like 20 years ago. There was a settlement.
Yeah.
See, this is not new. This is not new information. This is not new news. People just bringing this up again, I guess, to remind the media. But I'm sorry, I it's irrelevant to me what you did 20 years ago. I want to know what you're doing now.
And
yeah, but you know what? Everybody makes mistakes, right? Give or take.
Exactly. That's why it's irrelevant to me that he groped a chick 20 years ago.
But you know what? Let's be honest. We know to a certain degree, men are dogs. Girls like those type of things. These type of cases happen every single day in the workplace, at home, in school, at bars, whatever. But why is it a big case right now? Because a man's running for president, so they're trying to dig every dirt out on someone.
Well, see, here's the thing: if you're running for public office, and you have skeletons in your closet, and you are in the public eye prior to trying to run for the highest office in the world, which is President of the United States, President of the free world. Anything negative from that standpoint is going to be brought up. And it doesn't make a difference when it's brought out. See, here's the issue with Donald Trump, is that Donald Trump has basically made his reputation on the backs of his treatment of women. He's made a lot of money based off of the money that he got from his father's property, business, etc. He's, as we've documented over the last couple of weeks, how he got a lot of his money. He's not paid any taxes in a long time due to a lot of legal loopholes. So he tends to hold on to lots and lots and lots of money. And when you're of money and you are around people that will placate you no matter what, you get away with things. That's what was stated in the tape, basically. If you're a star in his eyes and you can make a lot of money and you can do what he does, in his own shallow, sick, worldly mind, he's going to think he can get away with anything. And I'm pretty sure in some instances he's probably done things and have gotten away with it. But see, here's the problem. When you bring to the forefront the complete and utter repeated instances of complete disrespect of females, just as human beings, they just play things, sexual objects, just the devaluation of other races and other people in general, when you have something like a sexual assault case or an attempted rape behind you or something along those lines, you know at some point, at the worst possible time, those are going to come back and bite you in the butt. And that's exactly what's happening with Trump right now. Is the timing is very funny, which you brought up, Hot Rod? Of course. A lot of people are going to, well, the timing, why didn't anybody bring that up before? Well,
come on, this election been going on for over a year now.
Yeah.
And we're talking about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If this is on the Democratic Party side by using this strategy, I give them props for that, used by any means necessary. But, yes, Clinton is up in the polls, but not by much. So it's still a scary race overall.
Yeah.
She's up by like maybe 4%. 4% is nothing.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, that Trump, he has plateaued as far as the new votes that he's going to get. For him, it's all about playing defense and making sure he doesn't lose any more votes. Hillary Clinton, even though her likability is still in the toilet for the most part, as evidenced by the fact that a lot of Democrats don't even think she's believable as a candidate, the fact remains that just because of the tape that came out and all of the fallout within, she is actually gaining more and more of the female vote, and she's even gaining the Republican female vote, which is scary to the Trump's side, because Trump is leaning on that vote to help him not necessarily gain votes, but not lose votes in key states. That's the thing that he's starting to lose grip on now. And you would think, just based on what he said, that the people that he has offended would be jumping off of the Trump bandwagon in droves, and they really haven't as much as people have thought they would.
Which is, once again, is very scary. And now Donald Trump is saying that the election would be rigged.
It's a built-in excuse.
Before you start, guys, I believe that to a certain degree, but Nisha, you explain your reason.
People believe that. And for him to say that, he's doing what he did in the beginning of his election and that he's continued to do. He's playing on people's fears and people and faux pas people hear. And that annoys me. I'm like, are you not educated? Can you not, instead of playing on people's fears, why not just simply tell people what you want to do?
I want to hear what you want to do.
I really want to hear what your plan is. All he does is spew ridiculousness. If you ever listen to him speak, he never gives you an actual plan. He just says, oh, I can do this and I can do that. Okay, that's special. I'm very happy to hear that you want to do it, but how do you plan on doing it? He never gives you that detail, and that concerns me.
I understand that, but you talk about the rednecks out there who believe that Donald Trump will give them jobs, Donald Trump will kill all the Muslims, Donald Trump will kill all the black people, all the Mexicans, and let's make America white again. But for him to use a strategy of the election is rigged, that will play with people's minds and make them think, well, you know what? To a certain degree, I believe the elections are rigged to a certain degree. And once again, it's on conspiracy theory. And Sean, do you think the elections are rigged?
I don't think the election.
I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about overall.
In general, I don't think they're rigged. I think what happens is what Trump is doing right now is that he's playing the base of his constituents against the rest of the country, in the sense that if he loses the election, he has a built-in excuse of why he lost. And what he's also doing is he's starting to set some kind of a dangerous precedent, and I'm going to tell you why. If you remember back in the 60s, what they used to do with elections, where they would go into minority areas and they would have police patrol the voting areas and try to intimidate the minorities into voting a certain way or else. Now, what Donald Trump has been doing is he's been kind of intimating on his trail that we need to go into certain neighborhoods and make sure that there's, quote unquote, no fraud. He made a comment in Philadelphia, I think it was last week or the week before, we got to make sure that you know what doesn't happen. And he's trying to intimate that the African-American or the minority vote is not going to vote, and they're going to, quote-unquote, rig the election. And the problem with that is that those kinds of things are illegal. Police officers, the only way that they're going to be in, and I spoke about this last week, the only way police officers are supposed to be in polls in voting areas is if they're going to vote themselves. And he's trying to set that up as that whole mentality that we're going to try to do what we can to make sure that the Republicans get their votes in and win these elections and don't lose in these minority neighborhoods. And that's the precedent he's trying to set, which is scary.
Yeah, but Sean, remember back then, I forgot what year, forgive me, Al Gore, George Bush, Florida, and that mess in elections?
That's true.
And a count?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that could happen again.
That is true.
It would play with people's minds. Donald Trump would say, see, I told you, elections are rigged. Look at Florida. They don't know how to count. Those people are stupid. They can't count past five. Believe me, I will fix them and build a wall. But something like that will play with people's minds because people will fall for anything that's on television or media right now. So how can you explain that to them if you have Florida that's a big mess? And it happened like maybe twice, I believe, with the elections.
And the craziest part about the whole thing is that with all of this nonsense that's been going on, nobody's really talking about the issues per se. Hillary Clinton seemed to be trying as best as she can between the two to try and get some kind of issues out there. But for the most part, the last couple of weeks has been nothing more than mudslinging. And it's been Hillary Clinton trying to discuss with people what she would like to do. And then you have Donald Trump going back to certain instances where he's trying to attack her character, and he's trying to bring up things that Bill Clinton did that have really nothing to do with Hillary Clinton currently in this race. And then he's also, speaking about the built-in excuses, he just recently said, I think it was just a couple of days ago, he thinks that both candidates should be drug tested. He thinks that, well, Hillary is on drugs or she has to be on something and whatever. And it's like, this has to stop.
To every rumor, there's some type of truth to it, the way I see it.
Also, it could be a way of just deflecting away from the constituency, as Anitra stated, to scare people into doing a certain thing. And his people that are behind him will believe, they'll go, as the expression goes, to hell, gasoline draws on for him, and
okay,
believe
bro,
whatever he says.
You have a new caller?
Can I interject real quick?
Sure.
This is Jason from Brooklyn. And
hello,
I know some of your how you guys doing today?
How you doing?
Right. I know some of you I'm doing fine, thank you. I know some of you listeners are probably gonna be, you know, thinking I might, because what I'm about to say is gonna sound like I'm cooning, but I'm not. I have a reason why I'm gonna say what I'm about to say.
Bring it. I'm ready.
As a black man in America, I think, I don't know how to break it down because I don't want to sound like I'm coony, but I'm just going to say straight out, I want a guy like Donald Trump to win. And the reason why is because I think black people today, we're too passive. We have it too good. Somebody like Hillary Clinton will pull us back to sleep. Somebody like Obama put black people to sleep. And what I mean by that is, you look at the 1950s and 60s, like they say, history always repeats itself. If you look at the 50s and 60s, what brought black people together was the fact that we know we had an enemy that we could all point to, which is racism. Because it didn't matter what class you are, how educated, how articulate you are, what your income was. At the end of the day, we all know, okay, these people are not going to accept me because I'm a Negro. And it brought us together. It unified us. And because we were unified, we learned how to deal with each other better. Now, once we assume racism was gone by all these little so-called laws, which they passed in the 70s and 80s, black people started to say, you know what, I don't have to deal with my people no more. So you know what, let me start dealing with other people. And what I'm saying is, a guy like Donald Trump, we see he's racist. You watch his rallies, you see what's going on in his rallies. You got people actually saying white power, go back to Africa, nigger, we're gonna lynch you some niggers. And we need that type of harshness, because I'm gonna be honest with you, as black people, I think we've been asleep for 30, 40 years. If you look how black people talk amongst each other, like me, I can use myself as an example. I went to school, got a bachelor's degree, educated, went to school upstate New York, got my degree and everything. And when I tell my fellow brothers who are successful that racism exists, because when I go to these job interviews, I could sense the racism. Like, I went to this one job in New Jersey where I had to have 7 interviews. And when I got to the 8th interview, the guy, I could tell, he did not even want to shake my hand. Like, when he saw I was a brother, I could tell. Like, the other 7 people who interviewed me, kind of, I could felt they might hire me. But the last person who I met was this old white man. He basically made the final decision, and I could tell I did not have the job. And what I'm basically saying, I went to job after job after job. My job, a bachelor's degree in computer science. And when I tell my fellow brothers this, they're thinking, oh, you're not trying hard enough. Oh, maybe it's your parents. Oh, maybe you're not being too articulate. Oh, it's like they make excuses because they're like, okay, see, I'm successful. You're not. You're doing something wrong. And they don't understand that racism still exists. So a guy like Donald Trump,
he wakes black people up, because black people cannot deny racism exists. Donald Trump wakes black America up, and it wakes us up to the point where we have to almost come together and work with each other. That's the only way we're going to survive. In the 50s, 60s, showed us what happened when we are being hit on all four fronts. Black people unify. And that's what I want. I want the unification of black people like once in the 50s and 70s. And the only way the way it's going to happen is if we have some horrific event coming at us. If we, like Hillary Clinton, puts black people to sleep, because look what she do. She knows how to pull black people in with all these little black, you know, antics. You know, she does these little black dances on stage, like the Shanae. Yeah, I got hot sauce in my purse. She makes black people feel comfortable, and that's the comfortability is what's destroying us, because we don't know there's an enemy out there attacking us in all four fronts. And this enemy is not like the enemy in the 50s and 60s. This enemy is now smarter. He's more strategic. He's more covert. He hides his racism now. He's not going to show his racism like in the 50s and 60s. He saw what that strategy did. It made us stronger. It unified black people. So this racism today is more hidden. And the reason, like if you ask white people now, you notice that white people automatically say, there's no more racism. That's the new thing now. The new racism is to deny it exists. And a lot of black people are falling for it. A lot of black people are falling, especially the so-called token Negroes, which the white man let in the door. And all of a sudden, these Negro amongst like 10,000 black men, you see 1-2% of them in a high level position, and that token Negro say, "Hey, you're not working hard enough because I got through, you didn't get through. There's something wrong with you," because they fall for the trap, and they fall for it so much. Now we have black people fighting amongst each other. Like you just heard Lil Wayne, one of the top rappers in the industry, say, "There's no more racism." So I want a guy like Donald Trump to win, because a guy like Donald Trump, there's no black person in America that's going to ever deny racism don't exist. Because if you have a person like Hillary, black people are going to go right back and say, there's no more racism. Stop making excuses. Donald Trump puts that racism right in your fucking face, and I love him for that, because he's unapologetic racist, and that's why I love him. I want my racist to be honest. I want my racist to come out in the open. I don't want this fucking fake racism shit, which Hillary Clinton, that's what she's all about. She's all about putting black people to sleep and making us sing Umbaya, my Lord, like everything is all good. Donald Trump let us know straight up, I'm here, I don't like you fucking niggers, and if I have the right to do it, I'll send all your ass back to Africa. I love him for that. Because it's going to make black people unify. It's going to bring us together. And that's what I want at the end of the day. Because we have it too fucking good in this country, man.
So, Jason, you know what? I love what you're telling me right now. I might get some angry callers soon, so don't be ready for that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Especially from one of my partners, Milton X. But I agree with you about the Donald Trump situation, because Sean Black, and I'm sure will tell you, I've been supporting him to a certain degree because I like the open racist. I like that he's an AO. He totally just speaks his mouth. But the unify, you want black people to unify. You know, people will say, how can we unify with one another? And, you know, the stupid saying, we're too busy killing each other on the streets for with nonsense violence. How can we work on that? Should we work on that first?
What'd you say? My bad.
No. People have been killing each other on the streets for a very long time. How can we be unified with too busy killing each other?
I mean, bro, if me growing up in Brooklyn and seeing how the whole system is socially, there's an engineering that people don't understand, and it's methodical. When I say methodical, this enemy we're dealing with literally figures out how to create chaos. That's his job. He literally funds these so-called think tanks to create a system where it causes division, urgency, and survival. Because you have to understand, black people in America went on survival mode. And what I mean by survival mode is this. The white man purposely created an atmosphere where there's crumbs being thrown at us, and everybody's fighting for these crumbs. Now you have, because if you look at human nature itself is all about survival. So now we're going back to our so-called animalistic instincts.
And that's what you see in the ghettos, black men trying to survive because there is no resources. The resources are literally shipped away from us. Like, I can give you a prime example. In the 80s, there was all these programs in the so-called inner-city schools, and you could do your research how by the time a child left high school, he could have, like, a mechanical skill. He could have an engineering skill, like not engineering skill, but electrical skill, a plumbing skill. All these skills where he could make a decent wage. And in the 90s, the so-called white unions fought and took these programs out of the high schools. Why? Because so-called white men felt threatened by this. Because imagine you have all these young Negroes coming out of all these high schools with all these trade skills, such as mechanics, plumbing, electrician, and they didn't have to call so-called the white man to come and do the job. They could do it themselves. It would put a lot of so-called old white men out of work. So they really create a system, a cesspool, where it creates a system where black people don't have anything to survive. Because the only thing black brothers have in the hood is McDonald's making $5 an hour, and on top of that, they want to tax you. This is the type
That's
of
true.
Like, bro, I have a bachelor's degree. I have a bachelor's degree, and right now, you know where I fucking work at, bro? I'm going to keep it real. I'm ashamed to say, but I'm going to keep it fucking real today. I work at Costco, man. Costco making $18 an hour with $50,000 student loan. And some of you Negroes in here might say, hey, you're not trying hard enough. You need to go out
but,
there.
But,
and,
but you have
and,
benefits,
and,
though,
and,
right?
And put the work.
But, Jason, do,
huh?
but do you have benefits?
I have benefits, yeah.
You have benefits, you have a job. That is a start. Don't let anyone take that away from
but
you.
Bro,
it's better to have something
I
than
get
nothing
it, but
at
bro,
all.
I did not go to school to work at Costco. I could have got this job at Costco right out of high school. I would have been ahead 4 or 5 years. I probably would have had enough money stacked up right now to create my own type of business. You get what I'm saying, bro? Bro, I put $50,000 in this school that the white man basically told me, hey, black Negro, look, you go to school, you get a GPA. My GPA was 3.5. You keep your nose clean, no criminal record, you speak articulate, you dress well, and we will give you a white corporate job. I did all that. And guess what? You know how many resumes I spent in the past year and a half? I spent literally over 1,000 resumes. And you know what my friend did one time to me? And I didn't want to believe my friend. My friend said, hey, go into your online resume and just change your first name and change the race. And I guarantee you'll see a huge change. I didn't want to believe him. I'm like, nah, man. I don't believe anything's going to happen. I believe it's just the economy's bad because I kept thinking the economy's bad, this, that, this, that. Guess what? Within 3 weeks of him keep telling me that, I went and changed my resume because, you know, I have a black so-called, you know, white people can kind of tell, okay, that's a Negro by his first name. So I changed his name. My last name is the same. Just change the first name, change the race. So I didn't put black. I put white. And the education experience, everything else is the exact same thing. Within 4 days, I had seen jobs I've never seen. When I say jobs, I'm talking about good quality jobs, jobs that start at $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year with security, with everything, jobs I've never been offered before. Why? Because I changed two things, my first name and my race. So racism is alive and well, bro. These white people are setting our young black youth in debt. They're setting up because I'm an excellent example. I have $50,000 student loan, went to school, got a computer science degree, not a bullshit degree because, you know, technology is the way, right? So I go to school, get a computer science degree, 3.5, and I work at fucking Costco, man. They're fucking playing us out here, bro. I'm telling you, they're playing us for suckers, man.
So let me go to Sean Black. Sean Black, what's your What's your intake about what Jason said? Do you believe it?
Well, there are a lot of points in there that I do agree with, but I will respectfully disagree with the assertion that we need Donald Trump to actually get something shaken up. I'll give the same analogy that I gave somebody that called, and we talked similar about this a few months back. I have never taken illegal drugs before. I've never taken cocaine, but I also know it's bad. I don't have to take it to know that it's bad for me. Same thing with Donald Trump. I don't have to have Donald Trump in office to know that he's bad for this country. And just as you stated before, it does take a monumental unifier to actually wake lazy people up and do something and say something. I will agree with that assertion, but from the standpoint of making sure that everything goes the way it's supposed to, This country is still a ways away from getting to the part that we need to get to. As you stated before, it's hard to get jobs. It's hard to get out there. But at the same time, it's not the way it was, I would say, 5-6 years ago, where, like you stated before with your assertion as far as trying to get a job, it was literally a job for an African-American was like, you know, an endangered species list, where unemployment has dropped a whole lot. It's still high in the African-American community and in the minorities that are still looking for work, but it's still in a much better position than it was 4 years ago, 5-6 years ago, where unemployment was when Obama got into office in 2008 for his second term, I should say for 2012, it was at, I believe, 9% was unemployment or 10%, and now it's dropped to, I think, 5.3 or 5.4%. The assertion that Donald Trump has to be in office to actually get things going for African Americans that don't speak or that don't find the way to get in, I think is a fallacy.
I'm sorry, Sean. I think what Jason is trying to say is, I think America, most part of America, is as tired of this politics BS.
Mm-hmm.
You see what you get with Donald Trump. Biggest asshole in the world. He's the biggest racist. Sometimes you need that wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you need a wake-up. I'm not saying he's the best person for the job. No. But it's time. Look at it. We've been talking about the same topics every week. Cops killing the black people. Racism. There's that. And I've been saying this for a long time. I'm sick and tired of talking about these topics.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Donald Trump is like the movie, Birth of a Nation. Maybe we need this racism to bring us all together to
That's what I was saying.
Exactly. Yeah, and I understand that assertion. And as I said before,
knowing what to say, when to say it, when the cameras go on, is not saying everything and being honest all the time. Just because he knows what to say and when to say it to piss you the fuck off does not mean he's being honest.
Exactly.
And does not mean that's what he's going to do. He's just playing it because he knows it's going to upset you. That doesn't mean he's being real or honest or you know what you're going to get. Obviously, you don't know what you're going to get because he doesn't answer anyone's questions.
But
he
can
just
I ask
you
what
shit
you're
to
saying,
piss
though?
You off.
But you know what's real about Donald Trump is the fact that he's showing a part of America a lot of people felt because it's 2016. Things have changed now. If I have friends who've been to the rally and they said it's literally a white power movement. They feel like they had a Ku Klux Klan rally.
Oh,
they've
yeah.
never seen anything like that in their life.
It
like
definitely looks
white
like that when you
say,
see it on the
kill,
news.
Nigger,
definitely.
Kill, nigger, kill. You hear a bunch of white people with police actually watching them and, like, not saying nothing to them, saying, kill a nigger, kill a nigger, kill a nigger. And a bunch of other white people start saying, yeah, kill a nigger. And you see the whole movement of white people literally shouting out. And they're like, oh, my God, I cannot believe this is a political, like, what's supposed to be sophisticated minds putting a powerful man in a very powerful position, and you have all these – you're talking about millions of white people that literally Donald Trump have woken up, and they're literally not ashamed to show their racism. That's what I love about Donald Trump, because people in this country – mind you, when Obama got into office, what was the new thing that everybody was kept pushing out? Post-racial America. Post-racial America. There's no more racism, everybody. Look, you got a black man in the White House.
We all know that was a bunch of crap.
You got a lot of black people that fell for it. Black people would actually tell me, hey, why are you not making a Negro? There's something wrong with you. You're lazy. There's something wrong with you. There's no more racism. That's why I love Donald Trump. He's showing us that racism is alive.
There is always going to be racism. There's always going to be some uneducated retard out there. But putting someone like that in office isn't going to solve the problem.
I think the fact that Trump is even running,
the problem.
Even though the fact of him running,
or make it better,
and the fact that he's actually opened his mouth, and all of the years and years and years of crap that he's spoken of beforehand, which has been talked about before, but not in this extent, and now is being brought to the forefront because he's running, is good in the sense of what you just stated. It's bringing attention to all of that stuff. But he doesn't need to be in the White House for it to actually make a movement happen.
Exactly.
But Anisha, remember one thing, like I said last time. Remember, Donald Trump ran against, 11 other guys who have experience. And they chose the biggest, racist, biggest, who don't know anything, to run for president of the United States. If they don't tell you something about the American people, I don't know what
it
is. We took
I'm just hoping that ultimately
governors.
That's not what happened.
But
I'm not paying his salary. I'm sorry.
But you know what, though? What you people fail to realize is if you look, the forces that are uniting to stop this man's momentum. Like, literally, people are so scared right now, even Republicans now can't even say are scared. Because if you have to look at it, Hillary Clinton's attacking him, Hillary Clinton's campaign's attacking him, the media's attacking him, Republicans are attacking him. Everybody's joining forces. And no matter, because what it is if you look at Donald Trump in the beginning, it's like no matter how much negativity he kept throwing at this guy, he kept getting stronger. It's almost like he was feeding off the negativity. People liked him even more. That just shows you a lot of people's what's in a lot of people's heart in this country. That's why I love Donald Trump, because it shows you there's so much racism in this country right now. Because for Donald Trump to get as far as he did and to see everybody uniting to go against this guy, because everybody's scared of this guy to be in office. Everybody.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
But Jason, what about the sexual assault?
Like modern day Hitler.
Okay.
No.
What about the sexual assaults? The claims of him touching, grabbing a woman. How do you feel about that?
I think that's what's damaging him right now. And you know what's crazy? There's history of Donald Trump showing racism towards black people, how he did not hire, how he not even want people to get, like, certain groups of people to, like, you know, rent or I think buy some of his property based on the color of their skin. But yet that didn't cause an issue. Now that he's talking about white women, because mind you, he's literally attacking the white women. See what I'm saying to you? You get what where I'm trying to get at now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's attacking the so-called white women and white children. Now the people will look at him differently. But when he was attacking minorities, people didn't have a problem with that. But, oh, you're talking about our women, our white
people
women.
Had a problem
we
with
have
it.
A problem.
You know, honey, they're talking about
miss,
him
miss.
Attacking
That's
women.
That's what's killing him right now. That's what's
because
killing him right now.
Because he's attacking
women. About white women. No,
he's
white
about women.
Women. Let's get it right. If he was... No. Please, let's be honest with ourselves. If he was talking about black women, nobody would give a flying fuck. He's talking about white women.
I disagree
women,
with you. I think an assault.
Right,
I think the fact
think that
he assaulted
I
a female.
He's
it
assaulted
wouldn't matter the color
a white
of skin.
Woman. Please use the word white woman because black women have been attacked. Look at Sandra Bland. Sandra Bland got killed. And what was the outcry amongst women in America for a black woman that got killed? Let's keep it real. I'm sorry I'm yelling right now, but I hate when people are lying. I hate when people are lying to themselves and say, oh, he's attacking women. He's attacking white women because white women has the highest value in America besides any other race. Let's keep it real. If Donald Trump starts talking about black women like hood rats, like bums, niggers, nobody would give a fuck. His ratings would probably go even higher. Let's keep it real. But he's talking about our precious white women, and that's why people are taking it personal now. Because all these so-called racist white men have white mothers, have white sisters, have white daughters, and now they're taking it personal. That's why. Let's
well,
keep it
so
real.
Basically, Jason, you're saying this is a white country. This is a white country.
Of course it's a white country. Of course it's a white country. Of course. Nobody had a problem with this guy shouting out blacks are living in hell, disrespecting black people. His ratings kept going up, but now they're finding stuff about him disrespecting white women and mentioning about a 10-year-old little white girl, talking about in 10 years I'm going to date you. Now they're taking it personal. Now they're like, I don't want to mess with this guy anymore. Come on, man. Let's be honest
okay.
with ourselves. Nobody
you support Trump. What about when, remember back then when he went to the churches and basically paid them off? Do you consider them as coons or kiss
assassins? Of course they're coons. Of course they're coons. But you know what? It plays. Look, at the end of the day, I'm not saying Donald Trump's for black people. What I'm saying is black people, for some reason, we're too comfortable. That's the key word here. We're too passive. You see, in the 50s and 60s, what brought black people together, what unified us was not because we wanted to unify with each other. We had no choice but to unify with each other because nobody wanted to be around us. People hated us. People would literally say, I don't care if you went from Harvard. I don't care if you're a rich Negro. You can't come here. You're a fucking nigger. And it brought black people together. We were forced to come together. Donald Trump will force Negroes in this country to come together because Donald Trump, his mouth, trust me, will scare niggers in this country. His mouth is crazy like that. One day Donald Trump might just go on and just say, I want to start killing me some niggers because I said so. And black people will be like, oh, my God, we need to unite now. I'm serious. Donald Trump got crazy. And I
Sean,
need a guy like that.
Think of all of those tweets that he did. The thing about Trump
exactly.
that is really, I don't even know the word to describe it, but his temperament is as such where he can wake up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning just because someone pissed him off and go on
exactly.
a Twitter rant, and it can be the most racist, sexist,
yep,
derogatory garbage just because
it.
He can. And the funny thing
exactly.
about it is, that forget about what you're going to, I understand your point from where you're coming from, Jason. I understand exactly where you're coming from. But here's where I find it hilarious in the fact that the Republican Party, who has for decades and centuries run on this family values quotient. Everything that they do has always been about family values and promoting conservative family values. The Republican Party nominated this guy who was the complete antithesis
exactly.
of what they're running on. So now that he has that spot, the Republican Party is scared to death that this is the guy
mm-hmm.
that is not only representing their party, but is going to probably, because of that, is going to cost them seats in Congress, Senate
yep.
seats. He, because of his boorish racist tendencies, his sexism, his xenophobia, all of that is going to cost him seats. And that is the main issue. So now we've got Republicans wondering, what do we do? Do we use that same Republican hive mind to say he's a Republican and we're going to stick up
for
him?
And then you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I live in New York City, and it's also hurting his brand. It's also hurting his hotel.
Oh, his brand is basically becoming poison right now.
Yeah.
But he's still rich. He still got billions of dollars, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the thing.
All right, so, Jason, you gave us a very good show tonight. So I'll give you 3 minutes. What do you want to say? Let out what's on your mind. Just let it out. What is your final thought of everything?
We got talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, at the end of the day, I think people look at Donald Trump as a curse to our society. For me, it's a blessing. It's a wake-up call to Black America. Because I'm only talking about my people, because at the end of the day, we've been brainwashed to talk about let's all come together. And yet when fellow Black men are dying on the streets, I don't see anybody shouting out, you know, like crying out the way they would cry out when that lion got killed last year. And then they literally was chasing this white guy who killed a goddamn lion, which I'm not saying a lion's life's not important, but come on, bro. You see a lion's life in this country has a higher value than a Black child named Tamir Rice in this country. So my point in saying that is I want to focus on my people, because at the end of the day, I feel like we're at the bottom out of everybody. And I think like a guy like Donald Trump, worst case scenario, he'll wake Black America up. Because as I stated before, I'm going to keep saying it, for 40, 50 years, Black people have been asleep at the wheels. We're thinking things is owned by my Lord right now. I think it's all good. You know, we have, President Obama. Next, Black people think we're going to have Hillary Clinton, which is all putting us to sleep even more. So a guy like Donald Trump wakes us up, because when you watch the rallies and you see the hate in people's eyes, it just shows us that from 1940 to now, nothing has changed. Things are just hidden well. People just hide their racism more because it's not considered politically correct. And Donald Trump, if he's not trying to be politically correct, he's honest with his hate. That's what I want. I want that honest hate again, which just sounds crazy. But that's what I want, because you know what it is? It makes us stronger. It makes us stronger because you know what? If you keep being nice to your children, what happens if you cuddle your children, you overprotect them? What happens? They become soft. They become weak, and they can't handle issues, and they literally become spoiled little brats. And that's what happened to black people. We're not disciplined. We're not strong-minded. We're not focused. I mean, look at the state of black people today. Look at the state of black people today. And that's my point. My point is we're all divided in so many ways. We're divided in class, war. I mean, it's just we're literally destroying people. And I feel like if we could have one enemy we could focus on, maybe it could unite all of us. Because they did that, the 50s and 60s were a beautiful example of that. And that's the only thing I got to say. That's it.
May I ask, you don't mind, how old are you?
I am 31 years old.
You sound very intelligent and a nice young man. And I wish you the best of luck in your future and finding the job that you want.
Yes.
But don't you ever give up.
Yeah, I know.
And you have to keep going. Sometimes it's going to take us harder to go up that ladder. But no matter what, never give up. I'm 40 years old, and I'm still not giving up.
Yeah.
You know?
And don't think that because of your views that you thought you were cooning, quote unquote. I don't think you were cooning. It was just your honest opinion of how you're feeling, and you
and that's what we love.
Exactly.
That's the point of the show. That's why we're here.
And it
and
brings
please,
up the discussion that a lot of people, the other side, that we probably haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
To have an
feel
honest
free
debate.
To call back. Feel free to call back, and we got 3 more weeks of Donald Trump to talk about.
Oh Lord.
All right.
So. So I'm assuming the next topic next Monday will probably be Donald Trump again.
Oh, of course.
Thank you so much,
not.
Jason, right? Jason, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jason.
Jason, thank you so much, and God bless.
All right.
Thank you.
Right. Good night.
Good night. Okay. We got 8 minutes. Too late for the other topics. But it was an interesting, very good, powerful show, and I love this type of show.
Mm-hmm.
But to Anitra B, I just got a text from Johnny B. I don't know what that means. Do you believe white privilege exists?
I think it does. I just don't believe it's just white privilege because I've seen it on all spectrums. I've seen very wealthy Hispanic and black individuals get away with the same crap. So I believe it exists, but I also believe that it's a wider spectrum than just that.
Well, as for Sean Black, I'll assume your answer already, but continue.
it's not a mutually exclusive thing, as Anitra just stated. It does happen elsewhere. But, yes, there is a lot of white privilege, and most of the time you hear about it is in the business setting or in the political setting or in areas where there's a lot of money and a lot of power involved. So, yeah, it does happen. But as Anitra just stated, just don't think that it's happening in just one particular area. It's just a lot more prevalent among white people because they're in most positions of power and they have a lot of the media attention where that's where most of the sound of it is coming from. But you don't hear a lot from a lot of the other places that it is involved in. So it does happen.
Okay. All right. Now we're about to go to our final thoughts, but my question to Anitra, is it possible later on tonight I could grab you by the balls?
Oh, Lord.
If I can grab you back, remember mine are bigger.
Oh,
yes, they are. Okay, Anitra B., what is your final thought of tonight?
Final thought, stop grabbing people by the
I can't. Exactly. You flip me from one thing.
Good grief. What a segue.
Listen,
I'm good that way.
At the end of the day, I just want people to go out there and express your right and vote. And I don't want you to vote because you think he's a fucking comedian. I want you to vote for the person who you think can do the actual job.
I'm sorry, but the producer does text me. This one, Anitra, got balls.
Oh, Lord.
I
think that's a different show for a different topic.
Different show and a completely different topic.
That's a two-hour special.
Yeah, but I just want people to express their God-given right and vote. and do it and vote the right way, you know, who you believe can actually do the job.
Really? Really? He's calling me now?
Really.
Oh, no, hold on. No, someone's calling me now. He won his 5 minutes, I guess.
Oh.
Go ahead. Take it away.
What's up, y'all? This is K-Dog. Yeah, I was listening to the show. You know, I didn't want to interrupt a good thing that was going on.
All right, Bill, you got 3 minutes. Go ahead.
3 minutes to go ahead. All I got to say is this is that. Pay attention to the next debate because it's going to be another brawl. And all I got to say is this, is that in November, get out there and vote. Because if you don't vote, then you're voiceless and you shouldn't be saying anything. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Oh, well, all right, K-Dog. Someone like me who cannot make a decision and say I don't want to vote. Am I wrong to say I don't want to vote because I don't care for either candidates?
Well, you
even
know
a
what?
Third party?
Here's what I have to say about this election. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because let me tell you something. Both candidates, yes, people may not trust Hillary. And Donald Trump, with his hateful rhetoric, you know, is spewing all over the place. So that's why I say this. When you look at both candidates, you'll see one has more of a aspect of being a leader than the other one.
Hmm.
You understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Sean Black?
Yeah. I was about to expound on that, too. I mean, it's important for everybody to vote. And to answer your question, for those that are so undecided, you can actually go to the polls and you can vote for your party. As far as, you know, judges and it's Senate, et cetera, on that ticket. If you feel that your conscience is so against both candidates that you can't really think of who to vote for. But see, this is the thing. The problem with not voting is the fact that you basically doom the country to whatever
exactly.
its state is if you don't vote. And way too many people have died for that option
exactly.
to vote.
I was about to get to that.
Too many women have gone on to try and get that vote to go. Now, whether you feel you can trust either one, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, if you don't want to vote for either one of them and you're a Libertarian, if you're for the Green Party, vote. Because a non-vote is a wasted vote. And if you
it
don't
is.
Vote, you have no say on what the heck happens
exactly.
from here on out, period.
Very quickly, and this is a real serious question. Do you think Donald Trump is really a villain?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is an act.
I'm sure he's a showman, but I'm pretty sure he is a real evil person. On some
yeah,
levels.
I'm pretty sure he could be a very much an Ayatollah, because all I could say is this: is that when you're running for leadership, you got to listen to the people. And so far, I haven't heard him listen to anybody.
Okay,
that's
wow, opinion. Guys, thank you so much for another great show. For some reason, we had a lot of coffee on this show tonight.
Yeah.
It's all black with a little bit with Anitra. She's the cream in this coffee,
oh.
but And Anitra, talk about sexual assault. You hear locker room talk all the time at your job place, right?
What? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Locker room talk, like guys talking crap, talking nonsense, talk about sexual jokes all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't find them offensive, right?
They
to
are.
To a certain degree?
For the most part, they're professional. They know better.
Okay.
And most part, they know me, and they know better.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for our show tonight. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the one with the little balls that I can't grab right now. I am the Hot Rod with
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
And
the one and only K-Dog.
Hey, and you can't use that. That's Sean's line.
Gentlemen, have yourselves a good evening.
Well,
thank
course.
You so much, guys. And as
I'm
always, the pleasure was all.
Good night.
Pleasure was
yours.
All yours.
Well, Sean, are you going to grab my ass later on tonight after the show?
Not tonight,
ooh.
Brother.
What the hell?
You sure? What?
I think it's Crowan's turn. I think it's K-Dog's turn.
K-Dog, you want to grab my ass after the show? I think he hung up.
Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.